What do you know about this place?
Nothing that bad. But
we should be prepared for anything. Gotcha.
Salvor Storm to docking control.
Docking control, I read you, Salvor Storm.
Docking control, we are requesting permission to land.
Permission granted. Proceed to docking bay 94. Welcome to the Star Wars fan base.
Welcome to Docking Bay 94, the official podcast of the Star Wars fanbase, your source for all the good news in the Star Wars galaxy. Welcome to Docking Bay 94, the official podcast of the Star Wars fanbase. This is episode 2, and my name is Dwayne, and I will be hosting today. On this episode, we will have a segment from Amy, Robert, Chris, and Little Hawk. But before we get started, I want to take a moment to remind everybody what this podcast is about. As I said in episode 1, this podcast is based on fan-driven content. So if you have an idea about a new segment or a story you'd like to report on, then we encourage you to send us an email at admin@starwarsfanbase.com, or you can send a message to our Facebook page at facebook.com/starwarsfanbase. But we have a lot to get to this episode, so let's go ahead and get started. And our first one is from Little Hawk. So go ahead, Little Hawk.
For Docking Bay 94 and the Star Wars fanbase, this is, for all intents and purposes, Little Hawk. So, susui gar to everyone, and that's hello to all you people who speak basic. And I am just here to briefly talk about the Mandalorian culture, and it's on Facebook. You can look us up at Mandalorian Brothers and Sisters. And basically what we are all about is we're just starting out, so you will not find like a lot of stuff. There will not be like any training regimens, like, you know, do this or do that. The only requirement is that you follow the 6 actions titled the Reslanar, and those are always posted up on the page so people know exactly what we're about. And we always try to make sure that people at least try to learn the language. It is slightly difficult, but with repetition and constant practice, you can learn it and pick it up just like that. And it's just, you know, it's just like a little tidbit, like a little, you know, something to do when you don't really have much in our current state of affairs in the world. And mostly, what we are about is that we are a free movement, meaning the only thing you have to do is just follow the Reslanar, which we always post that information, and we don't charge for people to learn the language. We just post the links for you. You go run wild if that's what you want and desire. And if you are with the 501st and our Mandalorian mercs, do not take offense when we say that we are a free movement, because as much as you like to say, I love your guys' movements, don't get me wrong. You guys do a lot of fantastic work. But in order to be an official member, you do have to have a uniform, costume, whatever you want to title it, or the Mandalorians, a Beskar gaunt. With us, even if you have those things, that's great. That shows your creative ingenuity and your ability to manufacture said uniform, costume, Beskar gaunt, armor, whatever. We don't require that. And a lot of people have a lot of tattoos, they have rings, they have necklaces, they have whatever. And as long as you have that or some sort of symbol that says, hey, you know, I'm a part of a Mandalorian culture, you are still in touch and following the Reslanar. And unlike us, we do not have a single individual that holds the mantle and title of Mandalore. We have a council simply called, and you're probably going to laugh when you hear this, just simply the Council of Mandalore. It's a lot more better that way in case something happens to one of us, and I will not disclose the names or who is on that council, or even the amount of people that are on it. That's a secret. We're not letting anybody know nothing about that. But basically, I want to make this very clear. There may be some people who take the ideologies of what we're trying to do very seriously, and that's their persona, that's their way of doing it. We do not train you in military tactics to go and overthrow governments. We're just like, we're almost like the, you know, Mandalorian Mercs and some other places, like, you know, like that, but we don't require much of anything for you to spend money on us. We just do whatever. If you have any tips, suggestions, or anything you would like for us to do for the culture, just leave us a message, comment, whatever, and we'll see what we can do. And if it's a good one, if it's pretty practical, easy to do, that most everyone can do, it doesn't matter if you're young, old, or in what state your body is in, you can do it, we might adopt it. And we're building this culture up from the ground up, and whatever you have to offer and suggest, that'll be a great boon and a helpful tool for something that we can all better everyone's lives. Because most of the main things that I personally myself want is just to provide things that help better people's lives in any way possible. So they could be something as simple as a joke. If it makes you laugh, it's not all that bad. Of course, it depends what kind of joke, mind you. You dirty mind people. But that is basically everything, and I will be gone for an undisclosed amount of time to an undisclosed location for a while, and when I will return, you will know it, and I will pick up the movement and add my own unique perspectives at that time. So, signing off, this is Little Hawk, and I bid you farewell, and to combat the Jedis, may the Force be with you. We develop this. May today grant you the fire to forge yourself the way you desire. Take care, and may today provide you with good challenges to better yourself and to test your strength.
Hi, this is Chris from Cincinnati, and this is Docking Bay 94. Alright, let me update you on everything that's going on in the world of Star Wars. J.J. Abrams has been confirmed to direct Episode 7. The 3D films will not be continued to be released. Disney has decided that they'd rather focus on getting Episode 7, you know, up and running. I think it's a great idea. I have no problem with releasing the entire saga in 3D. I just think that it's not a significant thing to focus on, but I think at some point in the future that they absolutely should do it. Not from a money-making perspective, but from a let a new generation experience this again, just the same way George did when he re-released the trilogy back in the late 90s. Disney is planning to release 3 Star Wars films a year once they get the ball rolling. Wow. 3 a year? Like, could you make every one of our dreams come true a little bit more, Disney? Thank you. One really great detail is that storytelling is going to be a huge focus for the new trilogy. Disney said that to Sci-Fi Now magazine, which is a United Kingdom publication. Box office analyst Jeff Bock says, having a well-respected English performer like Alec Guinness or someone is always good to throw in the mix. Someone who can really act. Further elaborated how that worked very well for Peter Jackson with The Hobbit. Just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman, both from the series Sherlock, both ended up working on that film. Cumberbatch, you're going to have to check the cast listing. I won't ruin that for people who are a fan of him. Freeman, as you know, plays Bilbo. But a British invasion is a genius plan. Look at all the old British actors in Episode 5 and 6. And 4! it's immense. I mean, the level of talent that was thrown into the original trilogy is immense. I mean, seriously. Ian McDiarmid. We would not have our brilliant Emperor in Return of the Jedi without him. Granted, Clive Revel voiced and played him in Episode 5, and I still disagree with George making the whole thing continuous and throwing Ian into Episode 5 in the recut version on DVD. But it doesn't hurt to make things just flow better. But Clive Revel's performance was chilling and subtle. And I don't know, I'm one of those old school guys that I'd rather just watch it without anything changed. Okay, moving on. Lawrence Kasdan, who scripted Episodes 5 and 6, has been asked and is confirmed that he will be writing at least one episode, whether it be 8 or 9. Simon Kinberg, who you may know from scripting Sherlock Holmes movies and a few other things, is also confirmed to be penning at least one of those as well. It's not confirmed which one either of them will do. We'll find out in the future, but also they will both be doing spin-off movies as far as scripting goes, and they're both attached as producers to 8 and 9 with Kathleen Kennedy from Lucasfilm. I think Kasdan is a brilliant choice. Let's not even mince words on that. Kasdan is a brilliant choice to bring back to the Star Wars world. He directed Episode 6. He scripted both Empire and Jedi. He tied in so many things that George had only, like, outlined. Luke's further training, the introduction of Yoda, the reveal of Anakin Skywalker actually being Darth Vader. What a brilliant reveal that was. I mean, that's a huge mystery throughout Episode 5. Why is Vader so obsessed with finding Luke? It can't just be because he's another Jedi. I mean, on some level, yeah, you're thinking, oh, he just wants to kill him, but why would he spend so much time and effort to find him? And for that matter, to find the Falcon. Got to see the Emperor in Episode 5. He'd only been mentioned in Episode 4. You just hear, oh, he dissolved the Council. Oh, sweet. You know, now he's this cloaked figure. It's like something out of The Wizard of Oz, you know. He's the man behind the curtain. He's the man pulling all the strings. The introduction of Lando. I think Lando is a great character. Just look at all the little stories. I think that's my biggest point. Lawrence Kasdan brought all these little tiny stories into a larger story and managed to fit it all into 2 2-hour movies. That's so difficult to do. But it was brilliantly handled. Thankfully, Irvin Kershner directed Episode 5, which is probably why it was just so well done. You know, they just brought in a veteran director and they said, just do this right. And he did. He did a great, phenomenal job. And Kasdan followed him up well, in my own opinion. Some people hate on Episode 6, but I love Episode 6. It ties everything up and you get to see Luke just kicking butt. I mean, seriously kicking butt. That's what you've been waiting for 2 movies, is Luke really going to town and holding his own as a Jedi. For now, that is all on my end. Stay tuned, keep your ears peeled, and hopefully we hear some more great, wonderful news. That's it for me. Take care, Star Wars fans.
Hello out there, beloved Star Wars fan base. This is your loyal Jedi Master, Amy, and I am here today to talk about our beloved John Williams and any hesitation that is showing up on the web about his ability to stay with us for the next 3 episodes of Star Wars and compose all the music, because I know it would break everybody's heart if he couldn't do it. Now, film scoring is a really noble art, and it's really evolved from the time of operas with full orchestras to vaudeville and someone at a harpsichord or piano, and to the early movies when someone used to sit right there and watch the movie that didn't have any sound and play right along with it. So it's really exciting. Now, film scoring has changed quite a bit since movies had sound and music along with it, because if you watch the early movies, music was constant. It was always in the background. There was never a moment of silence. It just went. And there wasn't a huge recognizable theme, but that's where our earliest notions of, well, we can give different feelings themes came from. And that's one thing John Williams does exceptionally well that other film score composers don't do all the time. So if you really look at, let's say, another trilogy, and let's pick on Lord of the Rings for a moment. If you really look at it from a music standpoint, both Star Wars and Lord of the Rings had beautiful music behind them. John Williams and our friend Howard Shore. He also did a lot of music for other movies too, but let's just pick on Lord of the Rings for a second. So if you take Star Wars and you listen to it, you'll notice that every feeling, in addition to every character, has their own theme. So there is a theme for Luke and Leia as brother and sister, and that evolves from Luke's theme and Leia's theme as they're going along in the movie trilogy. It's very well thought out. Then you have a theme for the Force, and you have a theme for the dark side, and you have a theme for all these little different things, and they pop up in the harmonies as you're going along. So you don't even realize that you hear them most of the time, and they're not super obvious most of the time. Sometimes they're inverted. Sometimes they're hidden below something else, so you're like, oh, and it just adds to the feeling. It's wonderful. But if you listen to Howard Shore's Lord of the Rings soundtrack, and this is probably a creative, you know, momentum that made this happen, but if you look at that, you know, blasting every time the main theme comes on, and it's on every few minutes. So it's like boom, 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 boom. So by the time you get out of that movie, you're like, oh my god, it's in my head, I can't get it out. Ah! And not to say that that's bad, but that kind of hammers it, you know, boom, 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 just like a hammer into your head. Whereas Mr. Williams is very sneaky about all of his themes, so you know there's different things going on. You can hear multiple layers, and it's just wonderful. So John Williams, back to him, he is amazing. He has gotten so many awards praising his contribution to film scoring, and we just love him to pieces. Now, he's 80 years old, and that's pretty up there, but he also is very expensive because he does things so well. And he hasn't stopped any of his film composing. He's certainly slowed down, but there's also been an explosion of film composers right now, because some of our old favorites from about 20 years ago, like Danny Elfman, you know, he's not doing as much either, because he was an early Tim Burton collaborator, and boom, 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 he just cranked out the movies, and they all sounded very similar, because he took a lot from Bernard Herrmann with a lot of those low, reedy sounds. So it had a lot of really interesting texture to the music. Now, back to John Williams. I hope that he does the music for the new Star Wars movies, because it just wouldn't be the same, I think. But if anybody was going to collaborate with him, I think Hans Zimmer would be a good choice. Hans Zimmer's been around a long time, and he has a lot of the same stylistic influences that John Williams has, because they're both classically trained composers, so they have a lot of that music theory stuff behind them that drives their music. I think he would be a good choice. You know, and I'm not counting out Howard Shore. You know, I think he could rise to the challenge also. But I'd also like to look at James Horner, because James Horner's been writing music for a long, long, long time. He, I think, is the most versatile, and he's the most underappreciated film composer out there, because he tends to just kind of hang out in the background. And a lot of his movies have beautiful, beautiful soundtracks, and it's looked at as a unit, whereas John Williams soundtracks tend to just stick out there on their own. Like, people just buy those. But James Horner, you know, he's just kind of number two. He's hanging out down there. So I think those are my recommendations for all of that stuff. There's also some other foreign composers that I think could do a fairly good job. Like Alexandre Desplat, I think he could do a good job. I don't really want to give this honor to James Newton Howard or to Danny Elfman because I think stylistically they're just too different, and I don't think it will be a seamless transition. But looking on the internet, it looks like a lot of people are having some real big concerns, and they're all, you know, recognizing that, you know, we're nervous, but this is who we want if you can't do it, Mr. Williams. So hopefully as things go along, I mean, music is the last step in post-production, you know, one of the last things before it's all edited together, because the movie is pretty much all done, and they look at their click track and then compose music along to it. And John Williams actually can crank out a film score in a pretty decent amount of time. But I don't know, we'll have to wait and see, guys, because I think with J.J. Abrams on board, he has enough of the geek at heart to really want Mr. Williams back on it. And I know that Disney's going to throw a ton of money at this thing, so it's not going to be a matter of not being able to afford certain elements. So we'll have to wait and see, but I think that a lot of us have a lot of confidence in J.J. Abrams, and George Lucas is still back there being a collaborator, and Disney's still not wanting to mess with the fans, so we'll see what happens, you guys. But my recommendations, I think, are pretty sound, and I will keep up on trolling the internet for more information on it, so hopefully we can get an answer soon, you know, and it's above rumors and all that stuff. But I think this is probably going to be one of the last things we hear about, because John Williams is getting kind of old, but I think that if he's going to do it wholeheartedly, and we won't have to worry about it. All right, signing off, fan base. Let me know if you have any comments, concerns, or questions, and thank you for listening.
Hello, ladies and Gundarks, boys and Twi'leks. I'm Robert Fonerfeld, here for Docking Bay 94. Hello, Docking Bay 94 patrons. Some of you may be scoundrels, but hey, that's why I love you. Ba-dum-ts. Anyways, so usually, I, being Robert Flummerfeld, would do a news piece. But, you know, I decided to kind of switch it up, and hopefully I'll run with this in the future. Sorry to drop this on you, as we joke, Grandmaster Dwayne. But, hey, if you don't like it, then nobody will be listening to it anyway, so all's well that ends well, right? So, I'd like to start a new segment here at Docking Bay 94, called the Fan Response Segment. And here's how it's going to work. I will ask various questions type things, I'll get into that in a little bit, and you will call a number that I'll give at the end of the segment, and leave a voicemail with your response. And then, if I like it, or if it's right, or depending on the question, I'll play it on air. So here are the 5 different response opportunities. You could do all of them, you could do one of them, you know, whatever. So the first is the main discussion topic of the day, which of course we'll be talking about today. So that could be anything. I'll ask a question, and I'll give you what my answer would be, and then you'll call and, you know, give your answer. You know, that'll be the most interesting ones I'll play. And then second is trivia. And I'll ask 7 trivia questions. 7 trivia questions, 1 from each movie, and then 1 bonus one that's really hard. Please, when you do that one, tell how you know each of those things so that you didn't just search them all on the internet, you know what I mean? And of course, when you leave any response, please leave your name. And the third, and I kind of stole this, you know, give credit where credit is due, I kind of stole this from Wampa's Lair podcast, which is a great podcast. You should listen to it if you get the chance. It's a very nice podcast. This is the matchup. So I'll give 2 characters or type things that are fighting, and you call in and say who you think would win and why, and we'll determine a winner. And then next one is, if you have any questions for me, I'd be more than willing to answer. You know, of course, Star Wars related. They don't have to be, but usually most of the ones that'll be on air will be Star Wars related. And then the last one, this one I might not play, but if you have anything you'd like to see or hear, I should say, on the podcast in general. So with any of us, maybe not just me, just requests kind of for the podcast or good ideas you have to make the podcast better. You just call in and say that, and I'll contact Grandmaster, if we do, Grandmaster Dwayne. I'll talk to him about it and see if we can get it done. Okay, so those are the five different ways. So let's get into it. First, the discussion topic of the day. We need some sound effect, but we don't have one. Discussion topic of the day. Today, it's kind of cross-universing. So imagine, if you will, that you are in the Star Wars universe, right? Living in it. If you lived in the Star Wars universe, first of all, what would be your occupation? Even if it's something you could be born into, like Jedi or whatever, what would be your occupation? I personally, because I'm an accountant, so that's not a very exciting job. I've always wanted to go in film, so I would like to be, I'd be a filmmaker, you know, because I'm sure they make films in a galaxy far, far away. I'd make a movie called Earth Wars, and then, you know, people would go to conventions dressed up as Civil War troopers and stuff. But all jokes aside, within the main topic of the day, also, if you were living in the Star Wars universe, what would your pet be? If you could have anything as a pet, and you can be as specific as you want. Like, if you want a Wampa, but you don't want it to kill you, a domesticated Wampa, baby Wampa, or a Tauntaun that smells good, Tauntaun with pink hair, you know, whatever. Be as creative as you like. I would definitely want a Wampa. I love the Wampa. I have, I got this at C6. I have a patch of fur that was actually used in the special edition for the Wampa. It's hanging up in my bedroom. You know, it's just a patch, and it's, you know, but yeah, that, I love that. That's great. So I love the Wampa. So of course I'd want a domesticated Wampa with pups. So, you know, best of both worlds. Oh, there's a plane outside. Anyways, I'm not sure whether, you know, what the heck, I'll do it. With my vast knowledge of the EU, that I'm not, that was a joke, you probably know way more than me, but I'll see, people think they find plot holes in the movies, which they probably do, but then EU authors like James Luceno, who wrote Plagueis, is really good with this, they explain plot holes through their stories. So if you think you've discovered a plot hole and you just can't think of why this is, call in and tell me about it, and I'll see if I can do some research and uncover anything about it. Because they set up the Holocron, you know, the make continuity database, set that up in 2000. I have really old, I have old 90s, especially like pre-episode 1 comics that conflict with other things that I've read. And I can't find any explanation for this. So, but, you know, that was before the Holocron, so I understand how it happened, but I'm a big continuity guy, so I'd like to know if they can explain that. Okay, so now let's move on from the discussion topic of the day to trivia. Trivia, trivia, trivia! Okay, trivia question number one. This is from The Phantom Menace. What job did a young Valorum have on the planet Vekakopia? Oi, I don't even know how to pronounce it. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm sure somebody does. On the planet Vesakopia? Something like that. So I won't give the multiple choice. You just have to tell me, okay? So that's another thing that makes it difficult. So that's the first question. And say how you know that if you do. No internet searching. Number two. This is from episode 2. What creature infests millions of miles of electric wiring channels on Coruscant? Okay. So now let's go on to question number 3 from Revenge of the Sith. Who led the Battle of Kashyyyk? That one's kind of a softball, but, you know. 4 from A New Hope, or if you prefer the term Star Wars. To whom did the Red Leader exclaim, "Cut the chatter"? Another softball. I love that quote. I use it whenever I can. If somebody's talking too much, cut the chatter, and I won't say the second part because I'd give the answer. Oh, and they're asking for red and a number. You don't have to know the pilot's name. Alright, and 5 from Empire Strikes Back, how long was Lobot's original term in his position on Cloud City? Woohoo. Jeez, and you don't have to get them all right to get a feature, just the person who soonest gets the most and explains how they got it so that they're not cheating. But question number 6 from episode 6, who discovered an unconscious Leia Organa on the forest moon of Endor? That's easy. And then finally, this is the bonus question. CC-1993, also known as Clone Commander Jet, featured in a few episodes of the TV show Star Wars The Clone Wars, the new one, not the original, Star Wars Clone Wars. So this character is named after whom? CC-1993. Clone Commander Jet is named after whom? Alright? So that is it for trivia. Now let's move on to the matchup. Okay, I'm excited about this one. I thought of it last night and I was like, ooh, this is genius. So, I want you to think of this, okay? So the original Death Star versus 3 million Wampas inside of it. So if there are 3 million Wampas inside the original Death Star, could they destroy it? Of course, they'd probably die too if they destroyed it. But, I mean, if they all die from the personnel, you know, their blasters and whatnot, and other ways. If the Wampas destroyed the Death Star, and they all die, that's a victory for the Wampas, okay? Because they destroyed the Death Star. But if they all die, and the Death Star is not destroyed, then... And, you know, it could be destruction by... It's knocked out of orbit and crashes into a planet. It could be anything. I won't say for this my own personal opinion, because I don't want to taint your vote. Alright, so moving on. What's that? Oh, I'm sorry, folks. I hate to cut out my own segment, but apparently we have a news. Oh my goodness. Breaking news on Coruscant. Let's go live via the holonet to Docking Bay 94 News Tower in Coruscant.
Good day, Robert. Well, what we have for you now is that since the massive military invasion by the Sith Empire, who have been thought to be wiped out since the Great Hyperspace War, the Galactic Senate and the Jedi High Council have called for an emergency congressional session to find out what will be the Republic's response to this devastating attacks, especially since the complete destruction of the shipyards at Sluice Van. So far, we have confirmed that the Republic Navy have suffered a staggering defeat in the Tingle Arm. The casualty reports are astronomical. And we also have confirmed reports that the Jedi have retreated from Korriban. I say again, Korriban is back in Imperial control. Okay. We are now getting word that many Republic allies have refused to commit any of their resources to the Republic's war effort. Back to you in the studio, Robert.
And we're back. Thank you for that. I'll just recap, kind of. I'm sure you remember the past three. I did, trivia. I did the discussion topic. If you forgot, you know, rewind back to it, because I know I'm kind of dumping a lot of stuff on you here. And I recently did the matchup, you know, 3 million Wampas versus the Death Star, inside the Death Star. So, moving on. First one, if you have any questions for me you'd like me to answer, you know, kind of like the discussion topics of the day, except for me, and I'll answer it, and you know, maybe if it's a really good question, I'll shoot it back to you guys. So like, somebody asked me a really good question, I'll answer it, and they'll say, and what do you guys think? Send in your responses, and I'll give you the number, of course, soon here. And finally, call in with anything you'd like to see on the podcast, you know, just in general, not just my segment, anything, and I'll contact Dwayne, who's the head of everything. And that's pretty much all I have. So here's the number, because I'm sure you've been thinking of what would be your pet in the Star Wars universe, what would be your job in the Star Wars universe, you're thinking of all the plot holes you've noticed, you're thinking of the answers to all those trivia questions, you're thinking of, what else are you thinking of, you're thinking of who would win in a fight, the Death Star, or the 3 million Wampas inside of it, and you're thinking of questions for me, and you're thinking of things you'd like to see improved on the podcast, so, okay, so here's the number. To call in, you can You can respond to all of them. You can respond to one, whatever. The number is 702-371-0632. That's 702-371-0632. Feel free to call in and give me your opinion, and I just could put it on the air next time. Thank you guys for listening, and if you like this, check me out on the other podcast. I'm on a Lunchtime with Justin and Robert. I go to a... It's not Star Wars related, so, you know. Go to a random place for lunch every day with my friend, Justin, and, of course, sometimes my other friends are... But, you know, you don't have to, because it's not Star Wars related. I probably wouldn't, personally. But, you know, if you want to, if you feel like it, it's a comedy show. Okay, that is good. That's all I got for you today. Thank you, and have a nice day. Once again, I'm Robert Flummerfelt, signing off for Docking Bay 94.
Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. We thank you very much for joining us. And if you have any questions or comments, we encourage you to send us an email to admin@starwarsfanbase.com. You can also leave us a message on any of our various social networking outlets on Facebook or Google+ or Twitter. And we are always looking for content providers to help us with the podcast. So if you're interested in that, you can contact us through those same mediums. We thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you next time. And as always, may the Force be with you.
Thank you for listening to Docking Bay 94, a presentation by the Star Wars Fanbase. The Star Wars Fanbase is not affiliated with Lucasfilm, 20th Century Fox, or Disney. Star Wars and all related characters, names, and items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective copyright holders. The official site can be found at www.starwars.com. Please visit our site at www.starwarsfanbase.com.